I wonder if you might pray with me and for me. Gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gift of this space, for the gift of this time. And we pray, God, that somehow your Holy Spirit might move today. Not, God, simply that you would move, but that we would be aware of you. God, I pray that as I speak, somehow you might speak through me. Lord, that you would give each of us ears to hear what you want us to hear this morning, that our minds might be open to understanding, that our hearts might even be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. When my wife was finishing up college, she finished a semester early, and then she went and spent a semester as a missionary in Japan. And then my kids studied Japanese all throughout elementary school. They were in an immersion program. So I've often been fascinated by Japanese teaching, by Japanese learning, by Japanese culture. So I've read a lot about the Japanese, and I heard this story one time, and I thought it was really fascinating, about a Japanese language instructor. And he's trying to teach them not only about language, but he's also trying to teach them about sharing their faith. Japan is not a Christian culture in any way, shape, or form. And there are some people who go and want to live out their faith and share that culture. And to do this, he gave them this example of a glass. And he said, here's the challenge with most of you. What most of you want to do is you want to go out to people and you want to just give them information. You want to tell them more and more and more. And he said, the problem is you want to give them information before you ever listen to them. So they are full when they come to you. They have all the stuff. He said, take a beat. If you take a minute and you just make a little space. If you listen and you make a little space in someone's life, they're able to hear you. They're able to experience more of what you might share. He went on to say that we can pour on all the goodness, all the good things, all the good information, and we could say all this stuff, but if we never listen to people, we never understand what information is helpful. And while he was talking about sharing his faith, I thought, isn't this true in our culture today? We go in often with our political beliefs, with our morals, with our values, with whatever, with our we're right thing, and we go into somebody and connect with them, and we first, before we ever listen, before we ever hear any of their story, we start to pour it on. And here's how I know we do it. I told somebody this morning, because I follow a lot of you on Facebook. I see the stuff we throw out there. Do you know in social media, it is almost impossible to drink from the cup first? We pour it on and we fill it and we put more and more in there without ever listening to people's stories. We're in the second week of this series we're calling The Jesus Attitude. And this is a series about taking on who Jesus is, to try to be more like Jesus. And I said last week, and I think this is so true, it's really more than just taking on being like Jesus. It's taking on Jesus's attitude. We are, my wife and I just finished, this was one of our binge things, the new Little House on the Prairie. Anybody else on Netflix? It's actually, no spoilers. They're on the prairie, right? No spoilers. But what was fascinating when we observed was how much the characters had clearly studied some of the original characters. Mannerisms were so similar. Attitude seemed so similar. And I said, that is very much what we're trying to do, what Philippians 2 tells us to do, to take on the attitude of Jesus. Try to be like Jesus. Care about the things that Jesus cares about. My question is, can we call ourselves followers of Jesus if our attitude is nothing like Jesus's attitude? Take on the attitude of Jesus. And I want to talk today specifically about Jesus was one who listened. Jesus understood that emptying the cup was important, before simply going in and throwing on the stuff. Why would we talk about this? Why does this matter? We're in this series. This series, we're also talking about how we can be in community with one another, how we can connect with one another. And I think one of the realities of our current situation is that people don't feel heard. People don't feel like anyone's listening to them. People who might normally have conversations with neighbors, meals with loved ones, people who might connect with their extended family are having moments where that's breaking. Spots and challenges where that's not happening. And even people who have a lot of people in their lives, people who go to work every day, see all of these people, have a bunch of friends, don't feel like anyone is listening to them. They feel like they're shouting from the mountaintop what's going on in their lives, and no one around them can hear. So I want us to take on this attitude of Jesus, this posture of listening that Christ takes on, because it was such an important part of the work that he did in the world. I want to take us to Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 to 31. It says, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying loudly, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their eyes were opened. And then Jesus sternly ordered them, "See that no one knows of this." But they went away and spread the news about him throughout that district. Now, if you're following along, if you were here last week, you know this picks up right where we ended last week in the same text, right at the end. And you know, if you were here last week, Jesus has had a very busy day. He's done some healing. He's called a new disciple. He's fought with the Pharisees. He's been called to go and heal someone who's died. And along the way, a woman has touched him. And you would think that Jesus could be done for the day. You would think that just maybe his day would be done. And as he's walking, he hears something. He hears people who need. He hears people who want. He hears people who believe there's something about him, because the passage begins with, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying loudly, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." I wonder if Jesus was ever like me. You ever had one of those days where you've just done too much? And maybe your kid goes, "Mom, can you do one more thing?" Maybe a kid in your class, if you're a teacher, "Can you help me with one more thing?" You get one more phone call. I was about to leave the office this week on Thursday, late afternoon, and I got a phone call about someone who had lost someone. And I wonder if you're ever like me, where you're like, "I'm kind of at capacity today." I wonder if Jesus was at that place that day where he was like, "I just don't know if I can take much more." These men who called upon him were blind. They knew something about him, and I have learned from other people who have blindness that their other senses are more heightened. They listen a little more. They pay attention a little more. They smell a little more. Their other senses are heightened. And we know that these two men know something about Jesus because they call him the Son of David. And I bet this wasn't their first cry out that they had made that day. In the first century, if you study those who are dealing with something like blindness, you see that all day long they're calling out, they're begging. Because in that society, in that culture, there weren't resources to serve them. They were dependent upon all of the other people around them. And I would bet they reached out to person after person after person and didn't feel like anybody was listening. So I ask you again, do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel that you are crying out, maybe not audibly, maybe not yelling someone's name, but maybe you're in a marriage and you're crying out to your spouse and you're going, "They can't hear a thing I'm saying." Maybe you're a kid and you're crying out to your parents and it's not coming with words, but it's coming with actions, and you're going, I don't think my parents understand at all. Maybe you're at work and you're feeling swamped and overwhelmed and everything is piling on and you're going, I don't feel like anybody can hear me. I wonder if you resonate with these two men who are blind as they cry out going, nobody else hears us. And maybe even you've cried out to God. Maybe you've said, God, I need help. I need you to walk with me. And you don't sense that God hears you. You're wondering, does God hear me at all? I'm naming every single thing over and over again, and the blockades just seem to get higher and higher. Well, here's the good news. The good news about the text that we read today is that it shows us, without question, Jesus is listening. It shows us, without question, as we cry out, that Christ hears the cries of our heart. And I think what's beautiful about Jesus is that makes him different than all the other people that might walk by us on the street. Every other person, as we cry out, who doesn't hear us, Christ hears us. And as I said before, Jesus had had a really busy day. He had a right to go, I'm gonna take a moment. I'm gonna walk off to the side. And despite the busyness of Christ's day, they cry out, have mercy on us. Son of David, he heard them. Now listen, it didn't hurt that they were persistent. Do you see what they did as soon as they finished? As he heard them, they followed him to his house. Not creepy at all, right? They follow him to his house and they go inside. They go to the place where he was staying. I wonder, have you found yourself in a place where you've cried out to Jesus and you haven't sensed that response? Maybe you have a physical infirmity. Maybe you're a person that's asked God to regulate your emotions. I feel like I have to say that all the time. God, help me regulate. Help me pause. Help me be still. Help me connect with these folks around me. Help me deal with the frustration I have in this circumstance. Have you asked God to make you a better friend, a better partner, maybe a better parent? Have you asked God for direction in your life, at work? Most of us in this room right now, I think, want God in some way to respond to us, to speak to us, to give us some sort of direction. And I think, again, there is good news. God wants us to have that direction. God wants to speak to us. God wants to give us those things. God wants to reveal that to us. What I love about this passage and what I love about how the gospel writers write is that Jesus doesn't just, once they come in the house, go, you're healed, here it is, it's over. Jesus asks them a question, and it's a very important question. Do you believe that I am able to do this? Now, if I were one of those men who was blind, I think it would be fair to say, I don't know. I've been dealing with this for a long time. Everyone else around me has rejected me. I wonder if there was another way that Jesus might be asking that question. As he asks the question, do you have room for this? Do you have room for me in your life? Do you have room for the healing? Do you have room for that connectedness? Do you have room and space for me to give you sight? Maybe Jesus was saying, can you believe that I love you enough to do this? Can you believe that I love you enough to bring transformation to your life in the midst of your story? I think that there are a lot of people in the culture around us that feel just like these two guys. They feel like nobody makes time for them. They feel like they're just a number or a cog in a system. They feel like the world is spinning all around them and no one is taking a moment to listen. They feel like they're no big deal. And I think what I've come to understand in my life, the more I've gotten to know Jesus, the more I've come to understand Jesus thinks you're a really big deal. Jesus thinks you really matter. Jesus thinks your story matters. Jesus thinks that every single person that you have the opportunity to come into contact with matters. Just as Jesus saw these men, Jesus sees you. In the midst of your story, in the midst of your reality. And I think that's the place that we have to start. So much of my life, I've come to understand that before we can go and do it for others, we have to do it for ourselves. Love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as what? Yourself. We have to choose to believe that we are worthy to God, that God loves us. We have to choose to believe that Christ sees us. I think in order to start seeing other people, that calling with Christ seeing us gives us a calling to see and listen for other people, to listen for their stories. And God has so many ways of speaking to us. I can't tell you the number of times in doing this. I've been a pastor for almost 20 years now. People will come in my office and they'll go, I don't hear a word from God at all. Tim, do you hear words from God? And I'm like, I don't think I've ever heard God audibly say, hello. I don't think I've heard it. But I'll tell you where God does speak to me. When I open up the pages of Scripture, God speaks to me. When I walk out in the midst of creation, God speaks to me. When I come and look in the faces of other people, God speaks to me. And the question is, are you listening? Are you listening for the voice of God? Are you listening to the voices of people around you? Because I am fully convinced that we cannot be in relationship with others. We cannot be in community with others if we don't listen to them. Until you hear their story, we can't connect. I think back to that class, that language instructor. We can't expect anyone to hear anything we say until we listen. And I know, again, I apologize, because for about the next 10 months, I'm going to be a grieving parent again. We have two more kids that we're sending off to college. This is their they took senior pictures this week. And I'm finding myself more and more going, I wish I'd have listened a little bit more. I wish I wouldn't have simply, when they walked in the door, gone with all the things they need to do, but I wish I would have paused and emptied the cup a little bit more. If I had, might there have been a little more room in the cup? Friends, listening is one of the primary ways that we know someone. Listen to them. And Jesus modeled that beautifully. There is this, I don't know if you've ever noticed, there's this electric energy that happens when you believe someone is actually listening to you. You ever notice that? I remember when Loudoun County Public Schools first took away cell phones from kids. And I had teachers come to me and they were like, I gotta be honest, it freaked me out a little bit. And I'm like, really, why? They said, I turned around and all the kids were looking at me. They said it was absolutely shocking to be teaching something and turn around and everyone be staring at you because they didn't have this thing in front of their face. Friends, there's this energy that happens when we listen to others, when we intently listen, when we intentionally listen. And I think a lot of times that comes back to me. If I'm listening to a song that has some lyrics or something that reminds me of a beautiful conversation that I had, if I see someone that I haven't seen in a while, I'm like, oh man, that person's really listening. I remember I went to college with this guy. Oh my word, he was like the most positive guy in the world. Everything was, hey man, how you doing? Oh man, that's great. And what we realized after time was that he was not listening to a word any of us said. We'd say, hey Mark, how you doing? Oh great man, how are you? Well, my dog died this week. Oh, that's awesome. And it became this joke that we tried to give Mark the hardest news that we could possibly give. Because everything was, and you'd watch his head. Have you seen these people when you're talking to them? Hey, what's up, man? Not listening to a word that you're saying. And there's something that happens when we have that memory of somebody who does that well. And I'll be honest, I'm working on this. I am trying to be a deeper follower of Jesus. 2 weeks ago, I went to the new IKEA. Oh, y'all. And I went just because I was like, I need to check this thing out. I need to see it. I dropped my car off somewhere. that was over on that side. If you don't know, there's a new IKEA that opened in Chantilly. And I walk in, and I got to be honest, I was completely overwhelmed. They have arrows on the floor because you have to go a certain way through the store. And there's a lot of people and carts that roll all the ways, like not just straight. The Swedish, they really know how to do carts. Like they go everywhere. And I saw two different groups of people in the store that I knew. One was our neighbors and one was people that I had known from a previous church. And I was so overwhelmed and it took me back. It took me back to sometime late 2020, early 2021. We had decided that in the midst of COVID, our family needed new furniture. I don't know what we were thinking. I think, you know what I think it was actually? I think school was officially coming home and we needed desks for our kids. So we went to IKEA and we had ordered online. I think this was, we had to go to Maryland at the time. We had ordered online and we pulled up in the thing and they weren't coming. And I remember looking at Nathan, who was much younger at the time, and I said, Nathan, why don't you and I run in and grab a few more things while mom waits in the car and gets the stuff? And I don't think I had paid attention to how overwhelmed our kids were during COVID being out in public. So we get in IKEA, and I swear there were 80,000 people in that store that day. Everywhere we walked, there were people. And I was trying to grab the few things really quickly so we could get out. And I vividly, when I was there just 2 weeks ago at the new store, I vividly remember Nathan sort of like, Dad, and me going, dude, I can't pay attention to you right now. I can't do this right now. Stop. I can't do it right now. And he was trying to tell me, I got to get out of this store. I am completely overwhelmed in this space. And I'm vividly walking through this IKEA going as fast as I can. You can't go backwards, by the way. You have to go forwards. The arrows go this way. And once I had gotten into it this time, I could not wait to get out. And it is not because IKEA is bad. It is because I had this memory of a time when I wasn't listening, when I wasn't following that lead that Christ has given each of us to pause, to listen, to be still. And what I believe is that there are more people in this room than me that have this problem. I think so many of us struggle with listening, and the reasons are countless. I think we often make a decision that we're not going to listen to someone the very first words that come out of their mouth. They walk in and we go, not today. Maybe it's somebody that we work with and they annoyed us yesterday and we assume they're going to annoy us today. Maybe it's one of our children. Maybe it's one of these people in our lives. But we decide from the very beginning that we're not going to listen to people. Maybe we recognize that somebody believes something different than we do, has a different political belief than we do because we saw it on social media. And we decide before we ever hear the first word, we're not going to listen to a word that they say. Friends, if we want to have the attitude of Jesus, we have to stop that. We have to open up our ears to listen. We have to get rid of our own agenda, our own ego, our own stuff that holds us back. And we have to see people, which I talked about last week, the way that Jesus sees them and believe that they have a story that they can share with us. And we have to believe that they're valuable to share that story. Friends, those are all the reasons we don't listen. There are lots of good reasons to listen. I bet you like being heard. I bet you like it when you say things and someone responds. I think that's a pretty strong reason. But I think an even greater reason is that if we want to emulate Jesus, he does it so darn well. He does it so darn well that it encapsulates people, that it grabs them. So how do we do it? We have to start by actually listening to people. Start by actually listening. Maybe take a big drink, a big gulp. You know how hard it was to take that first gulp? Because I was thinking about the next words I was going to say. You got to take a big gulp from the glass and then ask intriguing questions about what you heard and then actually listen to the answers. If you're going to ask a question, by all means, friends, listen. I think the end of this passage is so funny. It's very typical of people who Jesus has listened to and whom he responds to. I don't know why the people in the gospel stories always do this, but Jesus asked the guys to tell no one. And what do? Their eyes were open. Jesus sternly ordered them, see that no one knows of this. But they went away and spread the news about him throughout that district. They went away and told the story. They could not keep it to themselves. Why? Because somebody listened to them. They couldn't keep it to themselves because perhaps the first time in their lives they felt heard and seen. They couldn't keep it to themselves because they could see the world differently, at least for the first time in a long time. They couldn't keep it to themselves. Friends, there are people in your life that need to be listened to. There are people in your life that you want to build community with, or at least that you feel like you should, and you haven't because you haven't listened to a word they have said. Some of those people live in your very home. Some of those people are in your family. Some of those people are in your neighborhood. Some of them you work with. Some of them probably go to your church. To emulate Jesus, to have the attitude of Jesus, we have to listen. I think the challenge that I have often found with people who are missionaries that go to new lands is they go with the desire to tell people all the things. And I wonder what it would be like if we trained each of us to be missionaries in this land, to listen for the story of Christ in each and every person, to listen to the story and the power, because something electrifying happens when we listen. And it can absolutely be transformative. Amen? Amen. Amen.